on this side.
Start your day, the Torah, Rabbi Yossi Moore.
Morning, Rabbi Yossi. There were two American businessmen, and these businessmen were insurance brokers. They were insurance. They were walking down Meir Sha'arim, touring Yerushalayim. And they hear on Tisha B'Av morning, they hear that there's shuls, which there's cries coming out, there's Nigunim of Eicha coming out of the shuls in Meir Sha'arim. So, you know, being tourists, they're interested to know what's going on over here. So they knock on the doors, they meet a Yerushalmi, and they say, you know, please excuse me, tell us, you know, what's going on? What's the story over here? Why are we hearing a lot of mourning going on? And the Yerushalmi, as best as he could, he explained to the Americans that you should know that we had a temple, a very expensive temple, amazing temple, and it got burnt down. Again, Zazaki, he tried to explain as much as he could. A few minutes later, they were walking down the road, and one American turns around to the other and says, "That's what happens when you don't take out an insurance policy." Now, Be'emus, before Shavuot B'Tammuz, a lot of us sort of feel similar to that. It's very hard for us to feel the loss of the Beit HaMikdash. At Baruch Hashem, we have these halachas, that Takonos Chazal, that bring us into the mode of Tisha B'Av. Now we have the 9 days of Issur Rechitza, the Basav Yayin, and it comes to washing clothes. I would like to speak about a topic this morning, and that is the next stage. Mitzvah Hashem, it shouldn't be a Tisha B'Av, but afterwards, there's going to come the holidays. I just want to speak about the common shailas that can come up during the holidays. I'd like to discuss with the Olam, see what the Olam have to say. And we're going to start off with Tfilis HaDerech, but not get overloaded with all the protim with Tfilis HaDerech. Rather, I just want to mention a few short protim, interesting halachas that come up from Tfilis HaDerech. Number one is that it's not limited to driving a car. You only say Tfilis HaDerech on a train, or on a plane. When you go to camp, you take a bike ride, you go on a long bike ride, there's Tfilis HaDerech on a bike ride as much as there is on an aeroplane, or as much as there is on a car. Or let's say, in camp especially, they have a 2-day hike, and they're hiking. Sometime after the beginning of the journey, obviously there's a chiv to say Tfilis HaDerech. And that sometimes doesn't click. I had chaverim that were going jet skiing. You know jet skiing? Jet skiing, right? And if they go far enough out of the sea, there's obviously a chiv, Tfilis HaDerech. One of them had a shaila, he's not wearing a couple. In the sea, he's not wearing a couple, so you can't make Tfilis HaDerech. Showing you have to use someone else's hands. Again, it's a bit of a spiel. But the Tfilis HaDerech applies to any form of travel. It's not limited to car or train or bus. That's number one. There's another halacha b'negeah to Tfilis HaDerech, which it's quite common that when you're driving with your mishpacha in the car, that the person driving, the Rosh HaMishpacha, the father, he's the one that says, right, switches off the music, and he says, right, Tfilis HaDerech. He wants to say Tfilis HaDerech, and he's moitzi everyone else. He's moitzi his wife, he's moitzi children. L'maisa, the poskim say, l'chatzchila, there's a big l'chatzchila when it comes to Tfilis HaDerech, that everyone should say Tfilis HaDerech on their own accord. What? Why should that be? When it comes to the Kiddush, we don't say that. Havdalah, we don't say that. Everyone makes Havdalah at home? No. The Rosh HaMishpacha says Havdalah. Why are so many poskim say, Shlem Zalman, Yisrael Belsky, Rechaim Kineski, lots of poskim are saying that it's got a din. Why Lecha Tchila should everyone say it themselves? Zog in the poskim, it's got a din of tefillah. If I ask you, when you make a bracha on the sea, Oysa Ma'as Abrashis, what bracha, is that a tefillah or is it a shvach? So it's a shvach, a brichas a shvach. You could be mitzvah to someone else. These brichas are mitzvahs, brichas a shvach. When it comes to tefillah, this morning, yeah, why can't I just sit next to you and say, listen, psikul zimra is quite long, especially in Shabbos. Be mitzvah to me, psikul zimra, and brichas krishma for that price. Halidova, because stay in shulchan aruch siman and tasif dalad, that when it comes to tefillah, you want something from Hashem, you do it yourself, right? You shouldn't get someone else to be mitzvah tefillah. Well, actually, I can see he's already on Brichas Krishma, he's already on top of it. But when it comes to Tefillah, Shulchan Aruch does say, Shulchan Aruch is from Nun Tasif Dalad, ideally, you should daven yourself, Shmoneh Esrei should be done yourself, not only day someone else. Obviously, Chazal Shatz is for someone who can't, he hears it from Chazal Shatz. Oh, therefore, Zog in the Poskim that Lechatchila, every person should say it themselves. So Geshmak Hazach actually is, which simon do you find in Tefillah Saderech? In Hilchas Tefillahs, in Siman Kuv Yud. It's not all the way at the end in Siman Reish Chafei. It's not in Hilchas Brachas, in Hilchas Tefillah. Yaakov Kamenetsky is Madaik, he sees a din Tefillah. When it comes to Tefillah, there's a Maila to say it yourself. So that's interesting. That's an interesting point. It actually ends. Baruch Atah Hashem Shmei Tefillah. That's also another Geshmaka, right, the Poskim Zaka discusses. You see, it's got a Tefillah. It's called Tefillah Saderech. Oh, so we see, I think we've already got the idea of it. A lot of Poskim want to say that it's Kedai to say it yourself when it comes to Tefillah Saderech. I think some of you must have heard this, that before you start Tefillah Saderech, there's another Maila that you find people doing. And that is to try and arrange that you're saying a Brocha before Tefillah Saderech. Tefillah Saderech, how does it start? It doesn't start Baruch Atah Hashem. It starts Yerotzen. Now some Rishonim say, in Maram Rottenberg, he said that Lechatchil it's ideal to make sure that you have a Brocha beforehand. How do you arrange that? Okay, so if you're on a train and it's shaykh to go to the Bisak Kisei, so then you can make Asher Yotzah, and then you've got the bracha before the Tefillah Saderech. But if, let's say, someone's in a car, so he can eat something, make a Bruna Foshes Ala Mechya, and then go ahead, straight afterward, not be Mafsis, straight after say Yerotzen. Sometimes you don't want to start having a whole massive feast right at the beginning of the journey and making yourself Mechuyv Ala Mechya and Bruna Foshes. If it's a bit difficult, you can actually just make a Shahakon with Vore on a little sip of a drink. Right? Sip a little bit of the drink, and then go straight into your Hirotz and Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that although ideally you should arrange to have a full big brocha beforehand, you should arrange to have a big brocha, Echweis Asher Yotzah, Ala Michya, even Bo Nefoshes, but if it's a bit of a tircha, you can go ahead and make Bo Mina Mazonis, take a little crisp, yeah, and then eat it, and then say Hirotz. And the idea is you've arranged that there's a brocha before the Hirotz that it's going to be Chalom. So you made it. That's a somach smicha lechaveta. So there's two milas. Number one is the kedai to say itself, and number two is ideally to try and arrange a bracha before Tefillah Saderech. That's another mila that the poskim discuss. Okay. The third point is, let me ask you: if you go on a plane, you go on an aeroplane, basically going to Eretz Yisrael, and let's say you're not saying Tefillah Saderech on the way to the airport because let's say it's not b'chayev you, it's still within the area. What would you say? When do you say Tefillah Saderech on the aeroplane? Would you say it when you're ready far off? Would you say it? Oh, so the police can register. So the police can attack and say, when you're on the runway, that's when the police can say, that's Kedai to say Tefillah Saderech. When the person's on the runway, that's. Rav Oysa, let me ask you, this is a very geshmaka shayla. You're on an aeroplane, you've taken the flight, the 12:30 flight, EasyJet to Eretz Yisrael. You're taking your flight to Eretz Yisrael, and it comes time to daven mincha. Don't forget, in the winter, there's no way of davening mincha. There's no way of davening mincha before the flight, and no way of davening mincha after the flight. Sometimes in the summer as well, depends if it's a delay. And you now need to daven mincha, right? And now they bang out on the speakers, yeah, that there's going to be prayers at the back, preferably seven at a time. That's what they usually say. Right, usually say we don't usually light more than seven at a go, but the mighty need a minion, so you end up having 10. And the shaila is, do you get up and go to the back and daven standing up? Or maybe you got Yishev Adas when you're sitting down, maybe you should say Shemina Esra sitting down. What would the Olam say to that Zal Shaila? So, there's a lot of poskim about this, but if it bothers a person, if a person gets distracted going to the back, he's scared there might be turbulence, he's scared it's a bit too narrow, he's scared of all different things. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein's got a tshuva about this, and Rav Moshe Feinstein says, lechatchila it's kedai to sit down, and you can say Shemoneh Esrei sitting down. But Rabbi said, there's a geshmaka halacha that he adds. That let's say you're saying Shemoneh Esrei sitting down, this is a fascinating halacha. Okay, so you're sitting down during Shemoneh Esrei. You're sitting down, says Rav Moshe, try to stand up when you do the kriyas. In Shemoneh Esrei, we have kriyas, the beginning of the first bracha and the end of the first bracha. And the beginning and the end of Moedim, you bow. You bow, right, the beginning and the end of the first and the beginning and the end of Moedim. Says Rav Moshe, it's kedai that a person should stand up for those kriyas. because you find in the postgame that if a person wants to do a proper kriya, then it's kedai that the postgame say that a person should be standing up. It better comes from the Maril. The Ramah says, when you say Bar Nishmas, you know, the Ramah says, don't bow down. Because then you're Moisif on the Kriyas. You're not supposed to bow down. You're not supposed to be Moisif on the Kriyas. Says the Magen Avraham that the Maril used to bow down. So how does that stim with the Ramah? How does that stim the Ramah? The Maril used to bow down. The Ramah says, so that says the Magen Avraham, the Maril bowed down sitting down. So it's not a proper Kriya. You see from the postgame that kriya sitting down is not called a kriya. Rabbi said, I find it so shchiach when it comes to chazon sashatz. A person, for whatever reason, he needs to sit down during chazon sashatz. Okay, so the first halacha he tries to make is that no one within his dalad amos is davening shmoneh esra, even the chazon, yeah? Make sure that there's no one davening within your dalad amos. Okay, so you've made sure and you're sitting down during chazon sashatz. It comes to Shmakuleinu Ritzei, and he's nearing Moedim to Rabbanon. Now, do you carry on sitting down, saying Moedim, and give a little bow sitting down? Or do you stand up and bow down and go through Moedim? It usually depends on what your neighbor does, right? If your neighbor's standing up, then you feel a bit mashuva to stand up. If your neighbor's sitting down, then you carry on sitting down. The Maisa, the priest can say, is a Chuvin Yabiyahim about this, about the Yosef Nichavadas. And he says, the idea of standing up is to make sure that when you're bowing for Meidim Durabbanon, that you're doing a proper bowing. We bow by Meidim Durabbanon, Meidim Anach Lelach. Now, when you bow, there's halacha that it should be done standing up. Like Bazoi says, Rabbi Vadi Yosef, that you should stand up for the sole purpose of doing the proper kriya. As this is interesting to know. Says Rabbi Moshe, back to our case when a person is on an aeroplane and he's allowed to sit down during Shemoneh Esra. Says Rabbi Moshe, lechatchila, to stand up during, when he's bowing down, the bowing down during Shemoneh Esra, it's actually five times you bow down, the beginning and the end of the first, the beginning and the end of Moedim, and right at the end, bow Oyser Shalom, Shtein Shochan off to bow down, to bow while you're doing Oyser Shalom. So those times, it's not always convenient to stand up, right? So especially if we see some airlines are quite safuf. Yeah, but the Maisa says Ramesha, that's interesting. Sometimes it's even not possible, as I say, yeah. It's interesting, Rabbi Eliashiv was of the opinion that it's always kedai to go to the back and stand up. It's always kedai. It's a shita yechidah. And it's also interesting to note that Rabbi Eliashiv is not recorded of him ever going on an aeroplane. He came from Russia at the age of 9 by boat, and we don't know of him ever going on an aeroplane. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein used to go on an aeroplane on a yearly basis, or at least. Rabbi Eliashiv never left Eretz Yisrael. So it's kedai to know all these pratim.
What about stepping back for Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah, again, if it's possible, it's possible. All these things. And Rabbi Yisrael, let me stump you over here a little bit. Let me ask you a shaila. I want to ask you such a shaila. So, okay, so you've taken off. You're on an airline, and you've taken off, right? You're ready, hit the air. And now you're coming to the end of England, and what do you see? You see the sea. And you see it's a very clear day outside, very, very clear, geschmack, and you can see the seaside, you can even see boats there, people having a nice time there, and you see the sea. Now, if you're in the car and you see the sea, what do you usually do? You usually make a bracha, don't you? If you haven't seen the sea within 30 days, you'll make a bracha, oisem ma'aseh bereishis. If you're on an aeroplane, have you ever made that bracha? When you look at, again, firstly, you got a window seat. You had a fight about getting the window seat. Okay, you finally got the window seat, and you look outside, and you see the sea. Why wouldn't you make a bracha on the sea? It's a massive voracious. One does. Oh, that's again, Shmack today. One does. One doesn't. No, one does. Oh. Do you say a bracha, or it's a massive voracious, when you're on an aeroplane, and you look out the window, and you see the sea? Says the Batei Lachochma, obviously you do. Why should there be any different? If it's a clear day, there's no difference. The other post can hesitate about it. But it's interesting to know that the Batei Lachochma's got a tshuva to say that if a person's on an aeroplane and he looks out the window and he sees the sea, he can make a bracha, Oysa Ma'asa Bereishis. Avoisai, let's move on. Usually by now, a person's a bit hungry and he wants to wash to have his sandwiches. He's got these sandwiches, he wants to wash his hands. Let's say he's in the car and he forgot to take a keli with him. He's going to stop on the side, but he forgot to take a keli. He's on an outing. He doesn't have a cup, but he has a bottle of water. What would he say the Eitzah is if he wants to wash his hands from the Tzelis Yadayim? Wash from the bottle, very correctly. So says the Mishnah Berurah, there's little problem with using a plastic, even whatever the problem would be the plastic. But there's no problem using a bottle, a normal bottle of Coca-Cola that you refill it with water, to use that for Netilas Yadayim. Second on the podium doesn't seem to be the problem. You're stuck with that keli. Ideally, it should be a keli which is not plastic. That's why it's ideal. But if a person's running out or hasn't got a cup, then you can use, it's just kedai to know, you can use a bottle of water to wash your hands. And therefore, if a person is stuck, let's say he hasn't got any water, and nearby there's a shop, and the shop there sells bottled water, then lechaira, if a person should go and buy a bottle of water, it'll probably be cost about £2 for the small bottle, yeah? And you go and buy a bottle of water, and you wash your hands with the bottle. That's an interesting aloha to take into account when a person is on holiday. What happens if you are on a plane or you're on a train? You're on a train, and lemaisa, you can't really... Where are you going to wash your hands on a train? So you're going to say, there's a toilet there, go into the toilet, and wash your hands there. Is there any hesitation with washing your hands in a toilet? A person inside his house downstairs, let's say this is very shakhiya. Sorry? Oh, very good shmak. There's some poskim that hold. If a person has downstairs in his house, he's got a toilet, and as well, he's got a sink. And now he wishes to wash his hands after using the besakise. After the besakise, he wants to wash his hands, or he wants to wash his hands there before the su'uda, or he wants to wash his hands in the morning when he gets up. Can he wash his hands in a sink which has got just a toilet inside? Some poskim, correctly so, taka, are not happy with that. They say ideally a person should wash his hands outside the toilet. So if a person is making a house and he's trying to rearrange his, he's doing construction, it's kedai to arrange that he's got a sink outside the toilet. Now there are hetayim especially where in a toilet, let's say a person has an ensuite, and there he's also got a shower there. And he's also got, let's say, cupboards there to store his things, to shampoo, and he's got, he brushes his teeth there. He does other things besides for the Besa Kise there. There's a tshuva in Chalkis Yaakov, there's a few tshuvas about it to say that you could be makel and wash your hands there. Every morning a person wants to wash his hands there, to wash his hands in a place where it's not miyuchad for Besa Kise. There, some poskim want to say that that's okay. But when you come to an aeroplane and it comes to a train, I don't know, there's maybe a shaving socket there. But be honest, anyone's had a shave on a plane? It's clear, it's quite a miyuchad for the Besa Kise, in which case the poskim are not so happy. Sorry?
You've got a sink and water supply to wash your hands as well, it's not just a bit.
Right, you mean you've got a place to wash your hands itself. But that, the poskim, they mention, the Mechas Yitzchak says, it has to be like other things. Let's say makalachat, a shower. Those also, it has to be other tashmishin that a person has. That will take away the ruach ra, in which case that will allow you to wash your hands in there. The Maisa, when it comes to washing your hands on an aeroplane, you haven't got a brera, so there the poskim say you can wash your hands inside the toilet, or on the train inside the toilet, and then dry your hands outside, make the brocha outside, and dry your hands outside, that would be the way forward, to wash your hands inside, or come outside before you dry your hands, make a brocha, and then dry your hands outside. How do you dry your hands, Rabbi Isai? Not on your clothes, that's kosher l'shikha. If you don't remember it the first time, you'll never remember that, it's kosher l'shikha, right? So therefore, to wash your hands, you should use a towel to wash your hands, yeah? And to let it dry is, ideally a person should dry his hands. Using the drying machines, also, at least it's better than letting it dry by itself. Take paper towels with outside. Usually by the end of the flight, it's usually not much time paper towels left. Right, let's move on to another interesting halacha. Let me ask you just a very quick one over here. If a person goes on an outing and lets it go to Thought Park, what do they do to your palm? To your hand. What do they put on your hand when they put a stamp, right? They stamp your hand in order that if you go out, you come back, you don't have to pay again. Is there any problem when it comes to washing your hands? Obviously, inside the park, you're very hungry, you want to wash your hands. Any issue? I can see a few nods. No, very geschmack. The poskim say that the Zot the Mishnah Berurah, it has to be that there's mamoshus. That is, when you have ink on you, it has to be mamoshus. Some inks are very thick. That's when it's a problem. Says from Nissen Karelitz, what's the gather? When you put your finger across your hand and you don't feel anything, obviously scientifically you'll always feel something, but you don't feel yourself, you don't feel anything, that's going to be okay. A person has writing on his hands, that's not going to be a chatzitza on your hand. So let's say you got... it's very hot. Just imagine a very hot day. It's very hot outside, and you want to put you put sun cream on your hands. Is that going to be a chatzitza? Yeah, is there any problem? You've just put a whole load of sun cream, sun lotion on your hands and everywhere. Is there any problem of chatzitza? Says the Mishnah Berurah again. It's only if it's thick. Vaseline would sometimes qualify for that. If it's very thick, the place will say. But if it's a very thin thing, especially lotion, that's not going to be a problem when it comes to chatzitza, when it comes to Netilat Yadayim. I want to move on to... Oh, that's... A very interesting halacha for those that go away to on holiday without a minyan. I find it's a geshmaka halacha to remember, taking into account that sometimes they're leaving the house to go on an outing, a whole long outing. They're going to the seaside at 1:30. They're leaving 1:30. They're going to be back at who knows when, right? 5:00. Interesting halacha. The post can say it's kedai to make sure that you daven mincha before you leave to a long outing. Because usually, we don't have to be so makbid. When a person has a minyan, a person is in a family camp, he knows there's a minyan, 7:00, 8:00, so then you have a super matkri adadi, there's all those limudis chus, very nice, that's what we rely on a day-to-day basis. But if a person's stuck in the middle of nowhere, and he has a chance to there and then daven mincha, he should grab the opportunity, the person say that, it's otherwise a problem. You're doing a whole massive malacha, you're going on a whole hike, you're going on a whole gansadach, and then it's a proper malacha beforehand. It's a geshmakazach to remember. If you're leaving your house to a long outing after the Zman of Mincha has arrived, and you're done with Yechidus, it's kamat no lini mutzis chus. It's kedai as much as possible to make sure you daven Mincha before you carry on over there. Now, we come to also another chap. Sometimes people make barbecues, and it comes to summer holidays, make a barbecue. Now, although when it comes to disposable barbecues, there's no chiv tefilas kelim. Don't forget, tefilas kelim should be a real chiv over here. You're putting really things which you're going to eat, right? Putting sausages, putting burgers, you're going to eat it, right? So there's no. Why is it any different to anything else? So really, it should be mechoyev tefila only because it's a one-off thing. It's a disposable keli, so it hasn't got a shame keli. In which case, it should be mechayev with your tefila. But if someone has a reusable barbecue, it's quite common. You can buy them very cheap these days. And you take it with on holiday or at home. It's posha that the grate, whatever you call it, the wire at the top, is mechuyev b'tefillah. So you have to take it, pashas with the brachas, no difference to anything else. It's just a chap to remember. It's not going to help to say, yeah, but I'm only using it once. I buy a barbecue from Tesco, attack a reusable one, and you know what, I haven't got a mikveh nearby, so I'm just going to use it once. Yeah, I can use my disposable once, so why can't I use this once? No, there's a big chilek. If it's reusable in itself, then you can't even use it once. If it's not usable, then fine, that's okay. Disposable ones are always fine.
The grate is actually a proper metal.
Even if it's a proper metal, but if Bimahusa is not designed for it, even if you can reuse it, but if something is not made to be reused, that's where you find that has a tinfoil container. I'll base a tinfoil container. Use a tinfoil container. You tell me tinfoil containers? Right, because it hasn't got a shame keli, right? Even if you use it again, it's not choshev enough. Whereas when it comes to a thicker style, a metal style, that you would, even the first time you mechuyev to tovel it, because once it's got a shame keli, you have to tovel it even the first time being when it comes to that. Usually the place where it usually goes, that's when just that area. I've always said it comes to the zoo, I need to move on to the zoo, because I have to throw this in. A zoo, firstly, any problem going to the zoo? Yeah, the Chidor writes a whole zach that he went to London Zoo, and he was fascinated to see in London Zoo very strong animals. He's got a record. The Chidor records his journeys, and he went to London Zoo. Okay, it's interesting. I don't believe it cost him as much as it costs now. But the Maisa, he went to London Zoo, and he observed a few things there, and he's written his Sfarim Geshmak Azachen. And there's a Meshulid Galocha that states that when a person sees an elephant, or a person sees a monkey, you make a brocha. And what brocha? Meshana Abrius. Says the Meiri, an elephant and a monkey is very similar to a person, we'll see. And therefore, if it's a bit different to a person, therefore you say Meshana Abrius. It's better than similar to us. Meshana Abrius. Meshana Abrius. Now, when it comes to monkey, we understand he's got a very big resemblance to a person. But when it comes to an elephant, in what way does that resemble a person? How does an elephant resemble a person? So it's all different. Four legs. Yeah. How does an elephant resemble a... If you check this out, you'll see that the way they misabel on a korov, the way they mourn on a korov, apparently they walk around for 7 days on a dead relative. They mourn like a person. But the ma'aseh is, there's two animals that you make a brocha. Mashana Habriya. So Rabbi Yosef, I ask you, why is this halacha not really widespread? Why have you not heard anyone make this bracha? Because the Shulchan Aruch afterwards says that you can only make the bracha the first time you ever see a monkey or elephant. It's limited. Not every 30 days, like when you see the sea and when you see other things. It's limited to the first time in life. Possibly you've seen it when you were 7, when you were 5, yeah, when you were 13. So now, you're waking up now, and now, obviously, you can't make the brocha. But the Ramor says that every 30 days you can make a brocha, Mashana Habriya is on a monkey. So my shaila is, which I believe we've all got this shaila. Loads of us have seen monkeys and elephants in the past, but didn't know that halacha at that time that you make a brocha. Can we now say, listen, it's my first time seeing it, in which case I've never made that brocha. Maybe we should be able to make that brocha. What would the Ramor say? Yes, for yes. Yes, for yes. It's a good shaila. It's a good sorry? Go out the Ramah, that every 30 days. You should know the Chazanish, passing that the Chazanish made the bracha every 30 days on an elephant or a monkey. Meshana Habriya. When it comes to a food, you're supposed to pick up the food on your right hand, yeah, before you make the bracha. Don't try that on the elephant. Yeah, it's, otherwise we'll have to make a Meshana Habriya on you. Sorry? They made very geschmack. They made it actually. They made it on a monkey. The stipler took his children. Rav Chaim Kanevsky, I imagine, he took his children to the zoo there, and in order to make the bracha Mashana Habriyas, right? We're talking about the stipler. He took his children to make that bracha. This week's Jewish Tribune, they bring from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in Ramat Gan that he took the children to the local zoo to make the bracha Mashana Habriyas. I think he says there that they take arranged a certain owl, which is similar, the basement says got the same aloha as that, because it also looks like a human, and they made the bracha, the Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein of Ramagan, he took the olam to make that bracha. Okay, so it's not Omgefret, the Chazanishniks will make a bracha every time, as long as not 30 days, every time they see a monkey, every time they'll see an elephant, they will make a bracha. Which is no, the Mishnah Berurah says, only the first time in your lifetime. That's Mashaila. If you've never made the brocha, can you now say, this is my first time in a lifetime? Okay, I'll leave that with you to discuss.
That they are natural creations,
Alifah. Akash of Shulchan Aruch, yeah, it's interesting. Avoisa, let's move on, the little time that we have. Yes, as I stated that, the Melech Shlomo, Geshmakazach to remember, yeah, that's a bit of a reason. Sorry? Oh, the Shulchan Aruch explains that only you make the bracha once, because only the first time do you have that enlightening thought, how amazing it is. But afterwards, no. When a person is thunder, it gives a person shock every time. But when a person sees a monkey, no, it says Mashuna the first time, but afterwards, isn't it? Yes. Also the same, only the first time. Now, Boisai, we've got very little time. I'm not getting through even half the shilas of me. I think we're going to have to move all the way to Shabbos. Just a few points when you get to Shabbos. I've seen in the past, when it comes to Shabbos in the Chavis family camps, it comes to Shabbos in the hotels, that there are people that go for a walk after the meal, after the children's kashmaka meal. They go for a walk, right? They go for a walk on the beach. And they take along something that they always wished for, a kashmaka pair of sunglasses. They take with sunglasses, not knowing that the halacha of wearing sunglasses is a problematic on Shabbos. The police can say, glasses, there's no chashash you're going to take off glasses. Reading glasses, taka, the police can say, it's a problem, your chashash you're going to take off. You're not reading the whole time. But when it comes to sunglasses, the police are not happy with sunglasses. There's a chashash that if the sun goes down or is it in a shady place, then you're going to take it off. The police came, listen, Karelis, Rishlum, Zam, the old police will say to wear sunglasses, whether it's a piece in itself or just a clip-on, well, always chashash, you might take off sunglasses, even when it's hot now, but it's a chashash, you might take it off. The police came to say there's kedai not to take sunglasses at all when a person on Shabbos, because that's taka a chashash, you might take it off. Oh, geshmak ha-shayla. Let's say you have a prescription inside the lenses that when you're outside, it changes color. That's obviously not a problem, because when you go to a shady area, then that seva, that color is obviously going to fade. So that's not going to be a problem. The whole problem is you have a clip-on or you have a glasses and a sunglass in itself. That's the place can say, ideally, that should be avoided because the chashash might come and take off.
You're in a place that's always going to be hot.
So what happens, but the place can throw in, but sometimes you'll be in a shady place, you'll come indoors, and fakir, it disturbs you. When you used to, Yeah, I mean, indoors is known as Arab, yeah, but sometimes you come to a shady area where you, even you see outside without Arab, the police are not happy about that. Again, it's based on Chazal. Chazal already made, it's not that the Heinzig is making up a new problem. As Chashash, I mean, Yossi, even the most remote things. So the police will say, glasses, we can understand, there's no Chashash. But when it comes to these sort of things, that's already pushing it, the Heinzig police are not happy with it. So it's interesting, Zach, to take into account. It's stuck on, but you can always like just press it and take it off. So it's a chashash. You might just put it in your pocket. So that's a chashash. And she knows, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where in Eretz Yisrael, okay, this is stammer shayla. It's a stammer zach. In Eretz Yisrael, they're not tuned in to knowing that there's no Erev. And many times I've been in places where you have a seaside over Shabbos, and they don't realize that the Erev finishes before the seaside. And time again, and it says clearly, don't go past this area carrying stuff. And the Maisa, the Israeli specifically, that's what happens. They slip up on that because they're not used to anything. I remember a few years ago in Eretz Yisrael, there was a very harsh snow. And the Erev snapped. The Erev, the Badats already said to everyone that the Erev, we can't use the Erev this week. And everyone's running to the Chutznikim. What do I do this? Am I allowed to wear galoshes? Am I allowed to? No one knows. It's very, that's when all the shilas come up in Eretz Yisrael. When there's no Erev there, that's where the problem is. I would say if it's very hot outside and you're very scared, you want to sit outside for a bit in the sun, or you want to go for a walk, but you're very scared about getting sunburn. It's quite dangerous. A person has to take precaution before he's in the sun quite a lot. So he wants to on Shabbos, he wakes up in the morning, he knows he's got a long day ahead, and he's got sun lotion in the cupboard. He wants to take out the sun lotion, give a few sprays, yeah, and go like this on his arms, on his face. Is that mutar on Shabbos, or is it asur on Shabbos? Oh, I can hear the sun. Yeah, spray, let's just spray. Is there no problem of the halacha of refuah? There is a yesoid that if a person's got a headache, a toothache, that he can't take tablets to relieve his pain, because we're scared, when a person has a bit of a condition, then there's a yesoid, odom bohol al refuah also. A person's very anxious to get rid of any pain that he has. If he's got actual slight pain, he's very anxious about it, and he may come to actually grind herbs in those days and come to be mevashalit. So therefore, Chazal said, if you have a bit of pain, right, you're not allowed to take anything for it. Stop, just don't do anything, because a person is bohol al refuah also. Don't do anything. So therefore, if a person, the chayyur, can't take a tablet, why should it be that a person can apply sun lotion on his arms and on his face? Why should that be okay? The teretz is that there's a heta when it comes to refuah, that if at present you are okay, you are healthy at present, you can take tablets to prevent something from coming. This is very common when people have heartburn after the chalom. They have chalom and they know in half an hour they're going to be in Soros. They can go to the cupboard and they can take tablets. They can take tablets. Tablets on Shabbos, yes. Because at the time that you're taking tablets, a person is fine. He hasn't got this anxiety. Chazal only says, when a person is actually in a state of a bit of pain, that's when there's the chashash, odom bol, and refasi, a person will just want to get rid of the pain. But if currently, presently, a person hasn't got the pain, he can do things to stop the pain from coming. Therefore, if a person wants to walk all the way to Preswich on Shabbos morning is very cold in the winter, freezing, and he knows his hands are going to get all chapped. If he doesn't apply some lotion, he knows his hands are in for it. He wants to put some oil-based lotion, which is runny. Obviously, as Rabbi says, it has to be runny, because otherwise you've got a problem of Mariach. We're not talking about creams at all. We're talking about something which is lotion, which is just something, a liquid. These things are okay, because all you're doing is preventing a cold, your chapped hands from coming. Similarly, our shiloh when it comes to sun lotion. A person wants to apply sun lotion, it's fine, because again, on condition, he hasn't yet got on condition yet. If he's already got the condition, let's say a person's already a bit tanned and it's already hurting him, and the lotion that he has is supposed to relieve the pain as well, if you can get such a lotion, yeah, that would already be a problem. The heta is based on the fact that now you're okay, then you can prevent something from coming. So the first thing in the morning, people have hay fever shilas. They wake up in the morning, they know today's a bad day, but currently it's no problem. You can go ahead and take your hay fever, because now you're okay. You can prevent something from happening. Let's just finish off. That's another nidin. I've lost the fight with time. But let me just finish off with a geshmak hazach to know that when it comes to being as when it comes to holidays, it's sometimes difficult, and even during the year, it's difficult to be kvias itam natayra as one of them is domel homed rumish al olam. When it comes to holidays, it's no different. And the mafarshim say that kvias itam natayra, kvato itam natayra. The word kvias can also mean, it means setting aside time to learn, but it can also mean kvias can also mean an expression from. Interesting. It means from stealing. Hayikva adam alekim. Can a person steal Hashem? Right? And the Bali Musa say that kvias itam natari means that you have to steal time, you have to steal from your time to learn. Because there's no, a person never got time. So kvias itam natari, a person is, from groups that used to constantly say this, that kvias itam natari means you have to actually steal time, a person never got time. You always have to steal time in order to kvias itam natari. And when it comes to Ben Ezman especially, sometimes it's hard to tifara and asugya, it's very kedai to take these light shailas, a light gematria, a light shaila, a light zachen, just to finish off with the geshmak azach, that just mamish a geshmak shaila, and this is a very recent shaila. Ma'aseh shehoya in Eretz Yisrael, that I don't know if you know that in Bnei Brak they have these everywhere in Eretz Yisrael they have these chasna halls, and in the chasna halls they're mamish like shtiblach. They can have 5 or 6 chasna halls in a go. And ma'aseh shehoya that there was 2 ulams, there was 2 halls, hall number 1 and hall number 2, and the keyboard player of ulam number 2 didn't rock up. Okay, he didn't rock up. So now what do you do? Imagine you're making chasna, and the keyboard player didn't come. So what you did, the geshmak eitzer, you brought along this just small wire, very small wire. It has an input and an output. You stick it into the speakers from Ulam Aleph, and you put it into the speakers of Ulam Beis. They're both the same sort of chasnas. It wasn't one chassidish and one litvish. It was both the same sort. So that's what he did. Okay, the maaser didn't stop there. It carries on. The maaser is that what happened was that during the dancing, there was a choshev rosh hashiva that walked into Ulam Aleph. So obviously the keyboard player sees this, and he stops the nigga and he goes straight into, give me a song, Sushum Yomim Ani Meli Belach, yeah? Again, Sazach for the rosh hashiva. Geshmak a nigga, Yomim, yeah? And all the bokhrim get het up, and very geshmak a covered for the rosh hashiva. Next door, at the very same time, walks in the uncle of the chosin. Now, this uncle of the chassan, he's a shtikala evening koilal, he's got a shtikala koilal, small koilal, and he's maybe put on the frack. And Banamai says, he didn't think he's going to get all this covered. He walks in there, and suddenly the music goes wild, and obviously he thinks it's for him, right? he thinks it's for him. He comes running to the middle, the brochim give him cover, malachim, and mamish, it lasts for 5, don't forget, next door Roshiva, it lasts for 5-10 minutes of this. And he's getting the covered malachim, and mamish, he couldn't believe it, he's thinking all thoughts, yeah, okay. At least people finally realize my koichas, you know. Mamish, he's all happy. Mamish, the maaser is a shtikla oisha. He's a shtikla oisha, right? At the end of the chasna, he was so happy about this whole thing that he wrote a check, a geshmaka check to the chosin, 15,000 shekel. Maaser shayla, very recent shayla, 15,000 shekel he receives from the uncle. The uncle's over the moon with this. He's so happy. He hands over to his nephew a check of 15,000 shekel. He comes over to his rav, Rav Shlomo Levenstein. And he says, can I keep this check? I know what happened. I know exactly what happened, right? Not only did I save money on the musician, I even got money from my uncle. So he takes this check and he says, can I use the check for my next purchase? Can I use it? Or do I have to give it back? Because the whole toll's the whole thing. The man said, to cut a long story short, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra that says that Rebbe Yishlom, when it comes to such matzavim, there's a musug of siyata d'shmaya. The Gemara actually says the word siyata d'shmaya, that if it's such a remote a case, it's a siyata d'shmaya that Hashem arranges the money should belong to the chosin. I don't want to be marach, but the point I'm trying to say is when it comes to summer holidays, sometimes you need to have these light shilas. What the shilas of summer holidays? You have to have these light shilas, light matches to keep the spirits up, to keep the kvisis and material, like the Mephoshim say, kvisis and material, you have to steal time for learning. In whatever shape, way, or form, you have to try and steal ways of learning, and you'll have a geshmaka summer holidays.
This is no music. This is what's going on.